Gone in 60 seconds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. A Porsche can outrace a Volkswagen, but the head of the Porsche company could not outrun VW. This morning, Porsche announced its CEO is leaving. Volkswagen had a lot to do with that, as Brett Neely reports from Berlin.
Porsche's boss, Wendelin Wiedeking, was credited with saving the company when he joined 16 years ago. Then he set his sights on taking over Volkswagen, many times Porsche's size. He came close, but failed in the end. That left the company with billions in debt just as the recession hit and made it a takeover target for Volkswagen. Auto expert Stefan Bratzel says there's only one way to interpret Wiedeking's resignation.
Now it seems clear that Porsche and Volkswagen will be within a common company.
But Wiedeking, who is Germany's best-paid CEO, won't leave the company empty-handed. He's getting a $70 million golden handshake. To keep critics quiet, Wiedeking announced that half the money will go to charity. One cause he's supporting? A fund to help out aging journalists in need. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is wrapping up her trip to Asia, where she had the pleasure of being called a primary schoolgirl by the North Korean foreign ministry. A lot of Clinton's time was spent in Southeast Asia, and here to tell us what business the U.S. has there is our Asian correspondent, Scott Tong. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bill.
We get here in the States that China and India are hugely important to us, but really, how much vital interest does the U.S. have in the rest of Asia, many of the places Secretary Clinton visited?
A lot of natural resources in Southeast Asia, Bill. Indonesia has a lot of oil and gas. The Philippines has copper mines. There's a lot of coal in Vietnam. And Burma has a lot of natural gas offshore. So those are things, obviously, that every industrial country needs, including the United States. The United States also buys and sells a lot of stuff. It's the largest trading partner with this group called ASEAN, this Association of Southeast Asian Countries. So it's important for Washington to keep up relations with this partner of the world. And while she was there, Secretary Clinton signed a non-aggression pact with the ASEAN group.
And what about India, where she began her trip? From a business point of view, what was achieved there?
Well, what she didn't achieve is a promise on climate change. Hillary Clinton went in and she kind of apologized for the developed world, saying, you know, we industrialized historically and we polluted up most of the world, so a fair amount of it is our fault. And we hope countries like India, when they develop, they don't do the same thing. Well, nice try. I mean, the Indian officials said no dice. They've long said that, as has China. And the view in this part of the world is, you know, you folks in the West had your turn to become industrial countries, and don't try to rob us of our opportunity here. What the secretary did achieve is to clear the way for the U.S. to sell more than 120 fighter jets to India. India is much poorer than China right now, but more and more, they're going to be buying basketball shoes and take out coffee and soybeans all from the U.S. So it's important to solidify that relationship.
We keep mentioning China, even though Secretary Clinton did not go there this trip. Is mm-hmm. China the shadow looming over this whole effort?
Well, in many ways it is. I mean, China was the secretary's first trip earlier this year. And of course, it's a $4 trillion economy. That's only a third of the U.S. economy, but obviously we all know how much China matters. So it's hard to have a conversation in South or Southeast Asia without bumping into China.
Scott Tong is our man in Shanghai. Thank you, Scott.
Sure thing, Bill.
In Japan today, the government there said exports fell last month by the smallest amount in half a year. And Asian stock markets jumped today 1-3%. European markets are slightly lower now. Wall Street was mixed yesterday. The Nasdaq continued to climb, but the Dow lost 35 points and closed at 8,881.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Canvita Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Amazon.com made big news yesterday. It's buying the online shoe site Zappos.com. It's an $850 million deal. Amazon and other internet retailers have an advantage that their customers don't have to pay state sales tax on their online purchases. Not yet, anyway. Some states are trying to change this. One thing they're doing is targeting local companies that partner with the big internet retailers. From KUOW Seattle, Deborah Wong has our story.
HungryGirl.com is a pretty typical example of the kind of company that's now in the spotlight. It's a California-based website that's all about cooking. Its homepage features a colorful, low-calorie cookbook.
So if I were to click on the button that says buy it now, it would take me to the Amazon page, and then I can just complete the purchase right from here.
Patty Smith is a spokeswoman for Amazon. She says Amazon pays Hungry Girl a small commission every time a visitor clicks through and buys a copy of the book, about 4% of the purchase price.
Which, for the referring website, is free money.
HungryGirl.com is what's called an affiliate. Amazon and a host of other retailers have affiliate networks all over the world. They argue affiliates act sort of like advertisers, but some states are challenging that. They say affiliates are like remote sales offices, which means the retailer has a physical presence in the state and would be required to collect state sales tax. State Senator David Hoyle is from North Carolina.
They need to pay us, and it is something that I think is wrong, and we want it fixed.
Last year, New York became the first state to pass a law to that effect, and this year, a host of other states, including North Carolina, Rhode Island, and California, have considered various versions of what's been called the Amazon tax. But it hasn't worked out the way it was intended for states. Jeffrey Lindsay is a senior analyst for the Internet at Sanford Bernstein.
So in a sense, it kind of backfired.
Amazon and other retailers like Overstock.com have fought back. They've responded by severing their relationships with affiliates in several states, including Rhode Island and North Carolina. So if there are no sales, there's no revenue for the states. That has caused some states to rethink the Amazon tax. The governor of Hawaii recently vetoed a sales tax measure, and the governor of California vowed to veto one as well.
Bearing in mind that particularly California has backed down, it'll discourage other states from trying to apply the same rules.
But the fight is by no means over. North Carolina is still debating a version of the tax, and lawmakers in California plan to introduce it again. In Seattle, I'm Deborah Wong for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. That's Business News this morning. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.